Well, hey, this is Dave. Welcome to the Early Birds. A number of you are here early, and I appreciate that. How are you? I would like to change the order of what we've done before in intergroup. I'd like to see if you have questions or discussion or anything to say about the white paper on appreciative inquiry closer to the front and really bring that into focus to be sure that this is accorded just a little bit of discussion. But first, let's do wins and progress notes. I'd love to hear from you and just a brief overview of what you're up to and what you'd like to share with our group. I know you guys are out there.
Who's Dave, first? I'll go first.
Great, thank you.
It's Jamie. How are you?
Welcome. Thanks. Oh, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Actually, I have two things. I just came back.
Jamie, say your whole name and what and where you work so that...
Oh, okay. Of course. I'm sorry. Yes. This is Jamie Meyer, and I actually work in New York and San Francisco, but I just returned from Virginia where I co-led a teacher training for a group of 28 people for stress management teacher training, which is an area in which I specialize wellness, and I did the New Life Story Wellness Coaching with you, which has been so wonderful and useful in my life. And I just found out last night that I'm one of the first people accepted as a pioneer by the International Association of Yoga Therapists. So I'm going to be grandparented in, and I will be receiving that certification from them. So I'm very excited about that.
Terrific. What would you like the group to think of you when they hear this word or this niche? What is your best referral wish?
Thank you. My best referral is anybody who's interested in wellness, and that encompasses a wide, well, not so wide, actually, specifically lifestyle, stress reduction, and heart math, in which I work both with groups and one-on-one. So those are kind of the three sweet spots.
Sure, that's great, and that's even a better way to say it. And I think the integration of heart math is terrific. So thanks very, very much. And congratulations.
Thank you, Dave.
On your successes. That's great.
Thank you.
Who's next and who's next with a sweet spot? Jump right in.
Hi, it's Gloria Manchester.
Welcome, Gloria.
Thank you, from Sacramento. Well, two things are happening. One is I'm getting my certification with conversational intelligence, CIQ certification. I'm in the process. We'll start in September. And I'm excited about that because I'm planning on bringing that discipline to police departments. And I'm doing a presentation to 60 retired officers on Saturday. So that will be amazing.
Super.
And
was your first introduction to Judith Glazier in our mastermind group, or had you already known her before?
No, it absolutely was. I met her in mastermind group, and then, of course, had the book that you provided.
I'm a huge
and,
fan.
And I've been studying it, and I went through her coach training. Well, actually, I invited her to do something with me in Sacramento. Then I went to her coach training, and now I'm in her certification training.
And that's a book I want to reiterate a recommendation for, Conversational Intelligence, Dr. Judith Glazier. I think it's one of the essential areas for us as mentor coaches. It can be significant, and I think it's significant. I use it now. I use that those concepts now in the training for internal mentoring programs that I do with organizations, and that's a component of it. So, Gloria, your sweet spot and anything else. I think I once again interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. And she's using the heart math. It all fits together. And, of course, you know, you introduced us to that through ACE. So
the heart math. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's all. It's all good. That mastermind group was pretty powerful. And then I'm also going to have a live training for a leadership training for women called Partner in Excellence, and that will be in October in Sacramento. So, yeah.
And your sweet spot for referral is?
My, what? I'm
your
sorry,
sweet spot
asking.
For referral.
Sweet spot for referral. I'm not quite sure I understand
who
that.
Who do you want to, if we hear somebody who needs a coach and think of somebody to refer to, what is going to link you with that issue or that person in our minds?
Well, I guess
we're creating neuroconditioning here, by the way.
Yeah, neuroconditioning. Okay, conversational intelligence, neuroconditioning. Well, I think that that my sweet spot is the work I've done with women and teens, for sure. I don't know what else to say about that.
And you do money workshops?
I do.
Yeah,
the new money story. I developed the assessment, new prosperity story. That brought me, I don't know, probably 600 new people on the mailing list. So I'm also launching new money story in September. Another one. The one I did in the summer, I would never go and do one in the summer again because it was just really hard to fill the class. I only had two people in it, actually, and then I had a re-audit from last time. But the one in September, I've already got four people signed up. So that will be much better.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Gloria. And Ace Wagner, who's already been mentioned, if you're here, speak now, or you may have to hold your peace for some time. Is Ace here? Okay. Who else?
I'm here, Dave.
Go ahead. I'm here. Go ahead.
That's Deb Dedrick.
Deb, yes.
Indianapolis,
go ahead,
Indiana. How are you, Dave? How's everybody?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really great. I just wanted to tell Gloria I've really been happy with her emails that she's been sending, and I see she's making great progress. So kudos to you, Gloria.
Thank you.
And your full name and location in Indiana, and who you'd like referrals for, what your sweet spot is. And thank you for that reminder of the best, most cogent way of saying all of this in sweet spot.
Okay. Deborah Dedrick, Indianapolis, Indiana. And my sweet spot is relationship and stress management training, co-aligned with, of course, the money story. And I became a CHPC coach from Brendan Bouchard. So I'm a certified high performance coach this year, and I'm creating a programming class kind of to merge the two with the money story and the wellness story. And my first product's under construction, and it's called Manufacturing Happiness from the Inside Out, and it's pretty much all the way done. And I have clients in Mexico and Australia, and the things that you've taught us, Dave, aligned with the process that I got from the CHPC, I'm just hearing a lot of positive feedback on how it gets them to think differently. And so I wanted to say thank you for that, and I'm really excited about my progress, and I wanted to thank you again for your ability to teach us to create change, redoing the hardware and the software in our minds.
Well, that's terrific. Thanks for the update. And particularly, don't you want, Deb, people to think of you in terms of working with women executives and specifically in business settings?
Yes,
since you
exactly.
are one and have been one, in addition to being a coach. Isn't that a sweet spot, or am I?
No, that's a great sweet spot, and that's why I named my first product Manufacturing Happiness from the Inside Out, because I'm so skilled at the manufacturing process.
Yeah. Terrific. Well, that's great. Okay, thanks. Excellent. Congratulations on that. There was another token male in the group besides me who began to speak. Please go ahead.
It's Andrew from Sydney, Australia.
Welcome, Andrew. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you very much.
Bring us up to date.
I'm enjoying a really beautiful journey with your work, and basically I'm a trader mentor here in Sydney, Australia. We teach people to trade foreign exchange, and I'm just going on a beautiful journey and pushing myself out of my comfort zone every day with your work. Thank you so much, Nathan. And just doing incredible things. So what I do is adapt your money story workbook to the forex trading environment. I've incorporated that with Dr. Joe Dispenza's meditation work. I'm having fantastic breakthroughs with people, teaching them to manage their emotions and maintain high performance returns in their trading. It's really beautiful to change people's lives in the process. Help them define themselves, you know, to empower them. I love empowering people. It's really beautiful. It's really been a great journey. My mission I do have today is I would like some of you to share with me some of your website addresses. I'd like to probably have a look at some of your websites. So I'd like to put together a website. And if you might be to share that with us. The other question I have, is there a directory of all of us that get together? It's so inspiring to hear people that are on this group, so that then if you can refer to it later, it'd be nice to the reference.
Thank you, Andrew, for sharing that. I want to be clear what you're asking. Are you asking for different links to different products on the website?
No, I'm actually asking for if those of us that are in the group, if they could share. Some of you have some interesting websites.
Oh, yeah.
That I could use, just have a look at and get in here as an inspiration how to design my website.
That's a great idea. You each have the email of all of the active licensees, and you can just hit reply to all, and everyone will get the response that you write. If you have any question or want me to, you know, in any way be involved, send it to me, and I'll send it out. But feel free to send it out to everyone. When you have a website, when you start a blog, feel free to send it out, and that way others will know about you, and this will be a true resource, because I really want to develop this group in terms of referrals and knowing what each of you do and how you can develop these internal referrals. Andrew has the Australian license for the entire workbook for New Money Story Mentor, and has made unique and creative use of that for programs that he has with clients for trading. So I think it's a great example. And feel free, Andrew, to send your link to everyone as well. If it gets to be burdensome, I'll ask you to send them to me first, and I'll compile them. But feel free just to fire off something. If that's okay with each of you, and you can let me know if that's not, and I'll follow up on that. So thanks very, very much, Andrew.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. Well, who else? What else is going on?
Hi, this is Shelley.
Welcome, Shelley. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
You're not going to get away without telling us the whole name and the whole glamour business that you're in.
Well, you know, as you just said, sweet spot, I'm so happy that you did, because what came to my mind for my strength is really families and female empowerment. And I have not reflected that. I have not showcased that in my new website that I just put up, which I'm happy you said, because I'm going to share it with all of you. However, it was such a huge accomplishment for me to get a website up. And I am very, very happy with it. And I think that it was essential to then now hear you say what is that sweet spot and hone it even more. So that's the sweet spot is, I believe, families and female empowerment. And my wins are, I got my website up, and I have some an amazing summer coaching with Dr. Dave, and who also helped me with Leo, my oldest son. And we've had a really great summer, me learning how to give my twins their life and even be more of a good example of what a strong female looks like before they go off to college. So we've been appropriately ending a story, a chapter, so that everyone can move on without, how would you say it, Dr. Dave? You can simplify.
Well, I think you did a great job in a whole transition piece for you, and I just want to highlight what Shelley began to say, that what I think of in referral is, for her, high-profile, challenging families who need coaching, and high-profile because of fame, wealth, or other unique aspects, and she's located in L.A., so she is in our Hollywood contingency. So, but Shelley, do you do work in addition to face-to-face locally? Do you do work by telephone or Skype, or do you travel?
I do both. I do everything. Okay. I have people who really like to meet face-to-face, and I am excited about getting more of a just phone-based clientele as well. And I have traveled. And I actually have a new client in Kenya, in Africa now. So I have one in Dubai and one in Kenya.
That's terrific. Why do I have a feeling that person in Kenya is going to need a face-to-face from you going there?
Oh, that would be, you know, I thought
worse,
of that.
You know,
I actually met her
the kids have left
here.
Home, you could do way worse.
Yes.
Okay.
September 17th, they'll be gone. So my top coat is ready.
All right, sounds great. Well, super. Thank you and congratulations. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, who else? Any other wins, progress notes, or anything to give us highlights about? I know a bunch of you guys are just lurking there.
Hello, this is Marilyn Blackston in Baltimore.
Hey, Marilyn, welcome. How are you? Dr. B.
I'm doing very well, yes. I have a new webinar coming out. It's kind of an automated webinar entitled Overweight, 3 Reasons Why It's Not Your Fault. And I'm kind of trying to grow my list a little bit with the webinar. But I've got a lot of other things going on. I've just signed on to do a couple of radio shows in the next month, and I have a speech at a women's collective, a community women's group, talking about the health benefits of laughter. And so my sweet spot is middle-aged, although somebody questioned me what that actually is, and I'm not really sure anymore. I usually say 45 to 65, but I just read somewhere where 80 is the new 50. So, you know,
wow.
If you consider yourself middle-aged, that's fine too. But
yeah.
I focus on people who are the yo-yo dieters, who lose weight and gain it back plus more. And most of my clients are either diabetic on medication or insulin or have high cholesterol. And so our goal is to get them into a healthy lifestyle such that the doctor will discontinue all of those medications because they're very toxic.
Well, I know being a physician is a huge, substantial background for doing the specific area of wellness coaching that you're doing, so that's terrific. And again, if any of you have any anything to fire out to the group, any announcement that would be accessible more universally, please do that. If you have any questions about whether anything might be useful, send it to me, and I'll look at it and send it out as a collective. So thank you, Marilyn. It's great to have you here. Super.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, what kind of things, I want to get to appreciative inquiry in case you have questions or comments, but what kind of things would be helpful to use this group as a brainstorming group? Any challenges or issues that you'd like to take to this collective group of experts and have just a brainstorming session with our peers here to see what kind of ideas can come up? What kind of challenges or issues would you like to address to the group? If you could do that in a succinct way and just have us respond to that with any experience or ideas.
Well, I was going to talk about the new money story again, Ms. Gloria.
Yeah,
it was, I struggled with getting getting the class filled, and I wondered if anyone else was doing something different that I might catch doing, perhaps I just haven't had the right approach.
Okay. So you've sent it out to your mailing list of how many people and got how many responses and want to expand that?
Yes.
How many of both?
Well, how many did I have on my mailing list?
Yes.
Oh, well, my mailing list is like 1,200. But,
and how did you get those? Do you have a relationship with them? Have they purchased something? Or
yes.
Are they blog subscribers? How do they get on that?
They've responded to different things. I send out free things twice a week. I send out requests for, information about my book. I send out information about classes. I'm just building up now for the fall schedule. So I keep connecting with them, and yes, I have had purchases, but and I did get one for the money story from doing that. But it hasn't been really working for. And I have Facebook, and that's kind of a very cold audience. I mean, you have to build it up. So that's why I've gotten these leads from doing Facebook campaigns and things like that. And now I'm just I'm getting familiar with having them get familiar with my work.
Okay, that's great. And mm-hmm. Who has any suggestions or experiences about what's worked for you in an analogous situation?
I'm this is Andrew Perkins, Sydney. I think what we do is very unique, and we're taking people into an area which is outside their normal comfort zone. And I'm always asking this question myself. And when you talk to someone about the material we do, they're trying to contextualize the information in their head into something they already know. And I believe that you need to find the words which takes them outside that comfort zone, and they go, oh, what you do is different, is it? Oh, wow, I haven't done it before. I've done all that stuff before. You know what I mean? They try mm-hmm. and contextualize us into something else that they've already done, and what they do, they write it off as what I call edutainment. Because what people do is they go out and they do something, they get inspired for a day or two or a week or two, and their life doesn't change. Because what we do is it changes people from the inside, you know, from the neural level. And I like the piece that I heard that David did on the Coaching Alliance, the first section they did. He talked about towards the end of the talk just recently about, he described each of the different sciences and how they fit in, and I thought it was a beautiful little short little piece which goes, you know, that's this, and that's that, and that's neuroscience, and that's psychology. But all of a sudden people get to contextualize what all these different fields are, and then we can say, well, how we sort of bring all those together, and this is very unique, this is cutting edge, and it's the same challenge that I have, and I'm always looking for that answer, to find that solution to cut through, and people stop and say, wow, what you do is quite different. I actually need that. And I find that people won't move until they're experiencing pain. So I'll share something, they'll go away and mull on it, they'll think and go, and then I'll contextualize it, and you retouch base. So when they're in a bit of pain, they'll come back to you. That's my thoughts. I appreciate mm-hmm. everyone's feedback. God, I talked for a bit there. Sorry.
No, you're right. You're right. I did a webinar, and they said that they had broken down response, and it was very good, actually. It was on building up your base. And they said that the, of the responses, they broke them down, did a survey on them, and they said money had the lowest response. So if they had selling a program about live your dreams, that would have a bigger response than money. So I was thinking that selling, marketing it has to be, so what will that, a new money story be in your life? So I started calling it New Money Story, New Life Story, because I'm, of course, certified in both. And that brought a little more response because they were connecting it to, oh, I can make my life better. So I don't know. That made sense to me. But you're right. People are saying what you said, Andrew, is right. They're saying, oh, I've already done that, you know, stuff. I've done something like that before.
Yeah, I think until we find the way, it's, and I find it has to happen on a personal level. You need to engage. You need to get inside the circle with the client, get inside their zone and connect at their level. And you almost need to it's almost like a mini one-on-one and touch on those points. I find the best touch I have when I take a moment to sit and talk to somebody, when I have a chat and use my mirror neurons in the conversation and I can see where they are. You know, and I can say, by the way, do you find this and this and this, or do this and this? You know what I mean? All of a sudden you go, this person knows me better than I know myself. And then they sit up and they listen.
Yeah. I did a short webinar. I recorded a short webinar, and at the end of it, I offered them a 30-minute coaching session on their money story. So I'm hoping that will capture. You still have to get that first initial response, but yeah, I'm hoping that will help, because like you say, you know, when I talk to them one-on-one, I spend 30 minutes with them, there's no doubt that they'll sign up. I just have to get them to get to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe that's a case of where you're giving away something. There's, you know, we do that small purchase where they buy something, a digital format of something to break the resistance to engage, and then have a listen to that in their own time, and then break down that resistance. But I think it's a case of personalizing it. And I think sharing things, I think if people see you as an expert, they do the webinar and go, oh, that's just the same view. Yeah, that's an interesting pattern. And then they go, oh, I think I want to know more about that. But I think when it comes to money, they need to feel the pain point, or they won't move. You know, and I think nowadays, people are more and more under financial pressure, and I think what we do is fantastic.
You have to go to the right audience, too. It has to be,
Great, great points. Thank you. Anybody else? With input to Gloria's question or idea.
Hey, Dave. Hi, Dave. This is Joe Erskine.
Hey, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Super.
This is kind of out of bounds, but it goes with what she's looking for, I believe. As you know, Dave, I just moved here to Huntsville, Alabama, because of a family situation. And so I was trying to figure out what was I going to do. I don't know this area. So one of the things I suggest is I went to the library and spoke with the head librarian on what are some of the things that people need here that come throughout this library, you know, new life story, new wellness story, or whatever the case may be. I explained that to them. And so I told them that I can do a class on new life money, new life wellness. And so money was the biggest issue that people are dealing with here in Huntsville. And with my background being in the military and retired after 26 years, I was a cybersecurity officer. And a lot of people were losing their jobs because they needed to be qualified in cybersecurity, take the particular test, certification test. So I had the library to set me up a class at the library where I spoke on new life money and new life story, how you change your mind, you change your success or your life. And so I had them to tell me what their issues were, why they were not passing the security certification, and or what problems did they incur. And most of them said, well, if I don't pass, I lose my job, I have no more money. So I had them to get down to the emotional portion of why they were there at. And from there, I rented out a training center, and I actually taught on how to take a security test. And when I did that, I brought somebody in who was a security instructor who taught the test and 10 out of 10, all of them passed the security test a week later, and they were able to retain their job because of teaching them a new way to study or a new way to look at life, because if I don't pass, I don't make money, I don't have a job, I can't take care of my family. So that was something that I did out of the whim. Didn't know if it was going to work or not, because I'm in a new area, don't know too much about it, and it worked out for me. So I just wanted to share that to see if that helped, if you find an unorthodox way of going to a library or some social place and ask the community of what they need.
Great.
That's all I have, Dave.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. As a dog whisperer, I want to interpret that. Well, I'm not so sure about the move to Huntsville yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing what you did. That's great.
Yes, thank you.
Other responses or input? Let me share just a couple of quick things, and I think it's an excellent question that Lori has, and I'll bet it captures or crystallizes so much of what many of you have. I think that the very best thing that you can do for any kind of offering that you have is to develop a following by providing benefits, by providing useful things that people can use, and think about what creates a following of an author. Think about your favorite author. That author is a brand. You know that whatever he or she writes, you're going to buy the next book. You're going to go and get that book, no matter what the title is. You don't even need to know the title. You know you're down for it. That's the kind of following you want. They're loyal to you. Could I get a mute? I'll do this portion without accompaniment. So if you could do a mute on the puppy there. To have a following of people who know you and know your work. They may never have met you, but they can rely on what you offer as beneficial. And I want to give you a couple of instances of that. And that can be by a blog, by white papers. Gloria mentioned doing a free teleseminar. Let me give you an example of that. Whenever I do a training like New Life Story Wellness or New Money Story Mentors, I fill about 80% of the training seats by personal invitation. I know the people and what their interest is to match their interests and needs with what I'm offering. So I fill about 80%. I can send a mass email to my list of about 9,600 people, and I won't get a fraction of what I get when it's a very specific invitation to somebody I know. So there's nothing that beats that. Let me give you another example of just the marketing aspect. This is not included. Yeah, this was a late edition. This one was not in. Can I get a mute, please? Star 6, a mute. Thanks. No, not yet. Could I get a mute? This was not in the group. I'm going to put us on lecture mode for just a minute or two. This is one of the this is a teleseminar series that I developed after the six that I have invited each of you as active licensees for. There's one currently ongoing. I'm saying as a sidebar here on mind and brain mastery and coaching. There've been two that have been presented. You saw the link. I think I sent you the link in the email. They're recorded, so you can pick up with those if you're interested. Now, my point here, before the dog and my distraction with my stuff, is I put together a seminar series on influence psychology, persuasion neuroscience, and neuromarketing, because it's what I needed, and it's what I knew that each of you needed, and the people that I would work with directly needed. I knew there was a great deal of information out there, and I wanted to compile it and put it together in a meaningful way, and I did. It took me parts of two or three years to do that, because there's a massive amount of really important information, and I called it Massive Success Strategies, Influence Psychology, Persuasion, Neuroscience, and Neuromarketing. And what I do is put together maybe two or three or four teleseminars before I convert it into a product like CDs and a workbook. This I'm planning to convert into a webinar to white label for organizations that need aspects of marketing and these kinds of things. So my point here is that I did my usual offer the first maybe three times, and then I realized that I wasn't putting these principles into practice with what I was sending out as an email announcement and the landing site. When I revised it according to the principles that I was training, I thought, well, one of the last people to take my advice normally is me. When I did that, the seminar that was completed earlier this year was 8 times the enrollment of the best of the previous seminars. So it works. So it's useful, in addition to everything that said, it's useful to have some principles and ideas that you incorporate in terms of using the mind and brain sciences to apply not just to coaching but to marketing, whether it's just to individual people or seminar series or training or workshops or whatever. I'm going to go off mute and hope we've worn out the dog. Okay, we're back in discussion mode. Any other thoughts before we move on? Because I want to get to other questions that that you may have. Anything else?
I participated in both of those, and I applied the persuasive neuroscience to the document myself. And
okay. Your commission check is in the mail. It may take a while to get to Australia.
With pleasure. And I gave it to my wife to do that, and she gave me, you know, what you do is too cheap. And I thought, thank you. There's the response.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Other questions that you would like to take to the group? What else is on your mind, and what else would you like to hear the collective wisdom develop around?
So the military, I didn't catch his name, Huntsville. Is that Andrew? No.
That's Joe in Huntsville, Alabama.
Joe, let me put that down, Joe in Huntsville.
Joe Erskine.
Yeah, so it sounds like what he was doing was he removed the barriers to their, of course, that's what we're here for, but he showed that up front, how he could remove the barriers to their failures, whatever test, you know, that they didn't complete and they weren't getting. So I really like what you did. That's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And to convert that to the language of new story, he didn't create the obstacle. And when you don't create the obstacles, they're not there.
Right.
He put his energy into creating something else instead, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, great example. Who else, and what else? Well, while you're thinking, I'm interested in your responses to appreciative inquiry. I think it is one, in my view, one of the major integrations with professional coaching that has not been made per se to date, kind of like conversational intelligence. That's had some inroads, but Dr. Diana Whitney really originated appreciative inquiry some time ago. I have come to know her. The applications have been, until at least recently, limited to human resources and human resources development and the whole arena of human resources. Many of them, at least the ones that are avant-garde, are very familiar with appreciative inquiry, but it's something that I wanted you to be familiar with as a professional coach, and I wanted to summarize that and some other aspects that I've gleaned with, or, you know, sort of orbiting around that idea with some principles and then some tools and then specifically some application that that I thought might be helpful about stuckness in decision making. Those come from areas outside appreciative inquiry, but things that I think can be applicable for each of you in certain situations. So any thoughts about anything that you read or any questions that raised for you?
Well, I like the 4 D's. It really brings it into succinct way of something that you can actually process with. I thought it was really good. I read it probably when you first sent it, so I'm just pulling it up again.
Okay.
I printed it off, Dave.
Say it again?
Yeah. I printed it off, and I broke down a company meeting I was having with my employees. And I started with my plant manager and taking the whole principle of the appreciative inquiry and designing my agenda around it and writing out the script ahead of time and knowing how I wanted it to look at the end really was probably the first time in my career here where I was really able to get them on board. And so I'm going to continue to use this as a process to see how to completely change the internal culture of my shop. So I really like the whole process, and I like the deeds too. It just gets you to think about things in a different way.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad. That was helpful. A principle that is sort of suffused throughout appreciative inquiry is the same principle that we use in mentor coaching, is that we began with where the person is. And the couple of things that you've heard me say before, that asking the right question has way more power than giving people the right answers. And appreciative inquiry can get much better results from seeking out and solving problems. So we began with where someone is, which is exactly what Andrew was describing, about any client anywhere, any potential client or any potential person to sign on for anything from a teleseminar to a workshop to individual coaching, is to look at what their challenge is, where they want to get to. Because in both of those, you've written yourself into the equation, because that's exactly what you specialize in. You specialize in what their business or personal challenge is, and you're an expert at helping people get to where they want to go. So you've written yourself into the solution by asking a couple of strategic questions. So that really is a basis of appreciative inquiry, which is giving it back to... I don't know if any of you saw Mr. Khan at the Democratic Convention. I promise I won't talk politics, but I want to talk principle here. When Mr. Khan, who was the father of the Captain Khan, who was killed in Iraq, when he gave that message, and it became such an incredibly powerful message, and he was besieged with offers to come to different shows, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. But the power of that message, if you think about it, was that he didn't break down. He didn't tell us his emotion. He told us in a very succinct way his compelling story, and he let the emotion reside in each listener. And that's what made it powerful. That's what made it memorable, because the memories, I think, that each of us constructed, that I constructed, was based around powerful feelings, and his story was an organizer for that. So that's the principle of appreciative inquiry. We keep the focus on the individual, and they develop the story. They have the experience of it. And we serve as a guide and a catalyst, but we don't tell them what they should be feeling. We don't get in the way of their experiencing it. We work together collaboratively to move forward. And his was a beautiful, succinct summary of those principles, I think, which is why it was so powerful and kind of took the world by storm to be so memorable. Other thoughts or ideas about this? Well, then what about any other questions that you'd like to bring to the group? Things that you'd like us to brainstorm about? I hear some rustling of pages. Would you mute because your microphone is picking that up? You probably don't hear it yourself. But to make a use of our last 15 minutes, it would be most meaningful to each of you, and look at what kind of common issues that you have that you'd like us to think about together. And don't be hesitant to mention something. It may sound unique or trivial, but I'll bet it will resonate with some aspects of many, if not all of us. So how can we best use this last time to look at any issues that we have a tremendous amount of wisdom that we can collect right here that I think can be beneficial? What would you like to talk about?
I have a question about using the New Money Story mentoring in the high school setting, as a group setting, if anybody has any input on that.
Okay, great. Gloria, don't you do some workshops with teens? Do you do that with teens?
Well, I haven't had a teen since I started doing the New Money Story. I haven't had an opportunity to do it with teens, but definitely I will be adding a prosperity money story to the curriculum. And we're not doing anything until 2017, then we have three life courses. It's called Star Life Course for At-Risk Teens. So, yeah, after we get them through all the emotional stuff, then we begin to, you know, give them a way that they can be successful in their lives, and it would be absolutely an addition. Not to schools, though. I have not thought about taking it into schools, no.
Okay. Well, thanks. What about Deb's question? Anybody have notions about what you'd do or how you'd be thinking of it for schools?
I'm finding an inquiry from parents that I'm doing the work with, and they're going to, like everybody goes, I wish I knew this when I was young, you know? And they want to make a difference to their children and give them a good start in life. So I'm starting to get that inquiry now where they're wanting to book in their kids to do this money type work. And I think we've obviously got to change the way it works. But definitely I think if we take that concept of, you know, only if you knew this when you were in your teens, what would difference would have made to your life? And you take them back in time and they go, oh, yeah. I would love to give that as a gift to my child.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Let me ask.
I just want to say one thing. I combine making money with making a contribution. So if it's a win-win, if what you do can contribute to bettering, making it better, making the world a better place, then that's the kind of people I want in my program. So I think that would work with kids to, you know, as contribution.
On that subject, Dr. Joe Dispenza is running a teen workshop. He's only run it a few times over there in the States. It's right on the lines of what you just said. I heard the feedback in the first one, and he was saying how children are far beyond what we expect and their ability to be in a far better space to be change merchants in a sense. I think you would find it very interesting to participate in that. This is a sound thing like it's really aligned well with what you just said.
Well, okay. I just wanted to say that this wasn't my original idea, and I had heard one of my other fellow coaches had gone into the high schools and was getting funded to present principals, and hers was in leadership to selected students, and it was generating a lot of interest. And so I thought we could take the same thing that we're doing here and maybe apply the money story to teach these kids about
what college debt's going to look like them when they get out of school, and not to just blindly dive into taking on $100,000 in college debt without exploring the history of their money story with their parents, mm-hmm. and then growing their awareness. And since there's a funding available, which I wasn't aware of, maybe it could be a program we could develop and put into the high schools and teach these kids before they get so financially burdened.
Great ideas. Who else?
I'm a bit of the opinion when it comes to talking about that debt and the students, that they need to empower them to understand themselves well, that they go into a field where they've got value, just running the risk of turning on the pain side of the decision process and focusing on the pain of this money. So I think if you turn it into something where we're empowering them to make a good decision going forward with the type of education they take up, it's almost like this gentleman in Alabama where he turned around and showed them the value of passing this test, and they got to reframe their context about doing the test and had a 10 out of 10 success rate of passing.
Right.
Okay, great. Any other ideas? Here's something, Deb, and to each of you directly from, and you're probably familiar with it, from the Master Success Strategy. This is directly from Persuasion Neuroscience. Each of you, and I'm still hearing some paper noise, if you're moving paper, if you mute, draw a circle on a page, and then inside that circle, put a big figure. And can you manage the wrestling paper or equipment noise, please? So that stick figure is your potential client or your particular student, in this case, in high school. Now, the question is, how do you get inside the circle? Because outside the circle, that person's not going to listen to you. Outside the circle, you're not going to be able to talk to that person even in this case. So how do you get inside the circle? We usually think about, as we just talked about, what is the challenge that this person, what is the primary challenge this person experiences, and what would they most like to accomplish, to do? Now, in this case, you have to get inside that circle by way of a bridge. You're not going to get direct, you're not just going to show up in a classroom and start, you know, doing your deal. You're going to have an internal champion, and this is where I wanted to see if Kay McConney is here, because she's very familiar with this term and uses it internationally. Whenever you address an organization, a corporation, any kind of organization, if you can develop or tap an internal champion so that you can have somebody inside that organization who can represent you, who can give you information, and in this case it might be, what are the greatest challenges that these students have? What do you think they most would like to learn? Because then you can craft an offering around that that they can help you facilitate a way to deliver that, because they are then participants. They're an internal champion. It might be a group of the school counselors who would talk with you and think about, this really sounds like a good offering and they need this for the real world. It might be some of the business faculty, however big in Indianapolis, there's going to be a big, big school system. But, and it may even be for additional inroads or an additional bridge to meet with two or three of student leaders and ask them about it so that they develop a kind of internal persuasion that they have of their peers. Nobody's going to better be able to do it than people who are looked to as leaders, because you create a contagion effect in that way. So you find out information about what they most need or want, and ways that you can deliver that, you'll figure out ways to appeal to all of their senses. Visual, auditory, kinesthetic teens who have short attention span, and you may create specific exercises, specific things for them, but once you get in using these principles, you'll have a dynamic group who have both the blessings and the knowledge of the teachers or administration people, as well as perhaps student leaders, and you are informed to know exactly what might be applicable for them and have already begun before you've started with a kind of a contagion of perhaps excitement about what you'll be offering that they're going to be able to use in the real world. And then the next year, you have somebody who comes back for a portion of the time from college to say, man, I learned some stuff that my peers in the dorm knew nothing about, and my financial intelligence compared to them was off the chart. So you got witnesses. So any thoughts about that or any other ideas about this?
No, I agree.
Deb, your thoughts?
Yes.
Deb, did you have any other thoughts or questions? The unmuted Deb?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, ma'am.
I was muted. I just think it's just a powerful tool that we have, and I have used it with some students, and I have got fabulous feedback, and I think it would help create changes in the world that would serve. And I just love it.
Super. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? We've got maybe 3 or 4 minutes. What else would you like to talk about or convey to the group or just discuss in a short time?
I'd just to share something on the subject of internal champions. I find that once we take someone to be an internal champion and they're sharing their story, they'll get to the same point that we get. I'll have a conversation with someone and say, I did this, this, and this, and this is how I was successful. And they get the same challenge where that person on the other side is sort of questioning. They tell me exactly what I'm finding is they're finding this person's almost in, yeah, they're having to, you know, shift these people to a new way of thinking. So you definitely need these internal champions to share their stories and build momentum because they'll have the exact same challenge we're having with those people they're championing too. It's very interesting the resistance to change that people have. And they think that it doesn't apply to them. So, good thought, but I think it's definitely the way to go.
Great, yeah. And the internal champion becomes a culture carrier when you may not have that opportunity or that conduit in any other way. When you collaborate with someone who is internal to an organization or to a group, it becomes their success as well. When you have success, so they feel effective and experience a kind of mastery and become invested in the outcome. So you have another aspect of very positive energy internally, and they develop a secondary culture that carries your message and the possibilities of what can be accomplished in what you do. And this is applicable in terms of any organization that you want to address. And when Maryland goes to a healthcare entity to offer a wellness program, this is applicable to her. When you go to any organization, think about these possibilities. So it's a great question that we discussed. So just in the last minute, anybody else want to say anything?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, this is Yvonne Mitchell. And I wanted to, you know, everything seems to be coming together to this one point, so I thought I would add it. And that is that I have found that as I'm offering programs to help people move into personal transformations of various sorts, you know, so whether it's a health challenge or weight challenge or a life purpose seeking or a career change, you know, by the time I finish with one program with them, almost everybody identifies mm-hmm. as something they'd like to work on being their money. But what they mean by their money is very, you know, between the individuals that I'm talking about, their money story issues differ. And so money seems to be a second level thing to some greater issue. So I'm finding now with, as I go to the second round with people in terms of another 90-day program or 6-month program, they all want to work on different aspects of either their money legacy or their money organization or how to have more money or, you know, so that may be a secondary, you know, it's a big overriding, but they're not ready as an initial, activity with the coach. That's been my experience.
Yeah, that's a great point that you've each heard me say before, that the couple of things that most people are concerned about short and long term are money and health. And each of you have the wherewithal and the tools to deal with one or the other or both of those. So I think you've got a great deal to offer and a great deal of a proven system to work with people, and knowing that going in can amplify your confidence and the offering to work with, for example, someone's understanding of their relationship with money and their money story. That's unique. There are lots of financial planners and lots of people who do budgets, but you have something that is immensely unique. So thank you all very much. It's great to have a reunion. I hope you found it beneficial. And again, any way I can be of any help to you, I hope you'll let me know. Thanks so much for attending, your energy and input. I'm grateful.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dave.
Hey, yeah.